You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On the sidelines with the dogs.
It is brought to you by BrightBoxElectrical.com. If you want a man cave, you want to be a baller, I'm sure BMAC has got a giant home theater. Be just like him. Call the guys at BrightBox at 770-901-2500. Seth Emerson joins us, guys. Follow him on Twitter at Seth W. Emerson, talking about what the dogs are doing. Seth, it seemed like it was a long time ago. It was last spring that this went down with J.J. Holloman. Give us the timeline and how it took so long to play out.
By the way, this is not the first time I think I've come on right as, like, there was breaking news with another pro team right before I came on. So you guys have had to make the rough transition to me doing Georgia football. So
No. Smooth as Brown sipping whiskey to go to Seth Emerson now to talk dogs.
Yeah. Okay, so the Holloman thing, this is not something that has been percolating a while as far as, you know, we've all heard about it behind the scenes, and it just took a while for it to actually bubble up. Y'all have dealt with that. You know, you hear rumors about something, whatever. This came out of the blue. This young woman alleged this incident. For the first time, she went public with it. Well, she went to the police with it June 2nd, earlier this month, but said it had happened last April, so about 10 months or 14 months prior to that. Why she waited that long, we don't know. It's not clear. All we do know is that as the investigation went forward, she ended up deciding not to pursue charges. The one witness to it, allegedly, was Jeremiah Holloman's older brother. The police could not reach him, and he ultimately, through a lawyer, said that he didn't want to talk. And so the police considered the case inactive.
Wow.
But the Georgia program, as it was, they haven't elaborated on what they did to look into it and everything, but they made their decision to dismiss Jeremiah Holloman. All that we know on the Holloman side of things is what is in the incident report, which is very exhaustive. I've read through it several times. Police did not really leave any I's or T's out of there. So that's where we are. Georgia evidently thought that there was enough there to dismiss from the team somebody who not only was going to be very important to this team on the field, but was off the field even as a sophomore last year, one of their more upfront guys, somebody that tended to speak to the media a lot, somebody that just was one of the faces of the team. And it's rather stunning that it was him, of all people, that got embroiled in this.
Seth, what's next for Georgia offensively? You talked about Holloman, an experienced player, you know, averaged over 17 yards a catch a year ago. You lost so many talented pass catchers from last year's team, and he was supposed to be the vocal point as far as the receiving game goes. What's next for UGA at the wide receiver position? I mean, who eventually will be called upon to step up?
Yeah, there's players there, but I just got done filing a story looking at a receiver question. It'll appear on The Athletic tomorrow morning. But Holloman was going to be, like you said, maybe a focal point, but probably more in the sense that this was the one known commodity.
Right.
This was the guy that Jake Fromm could say, okay, I've gone to Jeremiah in tight situations before. This was their leading returning receiver. He was a 6'2", good target, a guy who knew how to get open, guy who was a good run blocker, guy who was a leader in the meeting room, and you know, maybe by the end of the season, somebody else, whether it's Demetrius Robertson, Kyrus Jackson, one of the freshmen, Dominic Blaylock, George Pickens, maybe by the end of the season, somebody else would even end up leading the team in catches or receiving yards or be, you know, just as much a focal point. I think they were going to be a kind of receiving by committee situation this year, but I think there was still a pretty good chance that Holloman was going to be their leader in catches and receiving yards by the end of the year. He was going to be the guy at the beginning of the year, especially as you lead up to the Notre Dame game, which is really their most important. It's definitely their most important game the first half of the season, but when you look at it, probably their only losable game first half of the season before the final stretch starts to get more difficult. So now they're going to go into the season with, they need Demetrius Robertson to right. be as good as he was at Cal. They need Tyler Simmons as a senior to really emerge as a go-to guy. They need Dominic Blaylock and George Pickens to play right away. I mean, there was never a question about them redshirting or not. They weren't, but now they're definitely going to play. And they need someone like Matt Landers, who's this 6'5", long, lengthy redshirt sophomore who just looks great running a route. But you need him to be a consistent target and a consistent option. So they've got options there, but you can't sit here and say, well, this is the guy that's definitely going to step up and replace J.J. Howland. We don't know at this point.
It is Seth Emerson with his guys in the WadeFord.com hotline covering the Dogs, getting the kind of the post-mortem on what happened with J.J. Holloman, who was dismissed late Friday afternoon. We talked about it on the show. I was just going to ask you about Matt Landers because he kind of impressed some people in the spring game. Looks like he's going to get the freakish skills. You have any kind of vibe on how James Coley is going to call it? Because, I mean, this could be Fromm's last year, and how are they going to use the wide receivers in the first place?
Well, James Coley's history, whether it's Georgia spring games, with 3 years under Chaney where he would call one team and Chaney would call the other, and then Coley's history at Miami leads everyone to believe that he's going to pass the ball a lot more, and maybe he'd like to, but he was also playing to the team's strengths at Miami. They were a better pass team than they were running. They just didn't have very good running backs, and, you know, spring games are fun. You always pass more direct.
Right.
So I could see them really leaning on the run even more, especially early in the season. Now, with Jake Fromm, you've got an experienced quarterback who's really comfortable, and he's going to have to make those receivers better. But he's also got to be able to trust those receivers. And the only guys he's thrown to a lot, the only guy he's really has thrown to a lot who's back this year is Charlie Warner, tight end.
Right.
And Tyler Simmons had 9 pass catches last year. How much more of a factor is he going to be? Yeah, I would think right now, very early, he would lean on the run game, and that's not a bad thing. When you've got DeAndre Swift, we'll see how healthy Zamir White is, Brian Herrien, people kind of forget about him, but he just runs like a bull straight ahead. And by the way, potentially the best offensive line in Georgia football history to run behind. Now, you could also say, well, if that offensive line is so good, which it is, then Jake Fromm can just hang back there and, you know, wait a while before somebody gets open. But it's not as simple as that. The receivers have to get open. You can't literally wait a whole time. I mean, they're not going to, 5 offensive linemen aren't going to throw down every single defender that comes their way. There's going to be a rush, and those guys have to make the catches. They have to make the plays in the field. So I would think that it would be a lot easier for them to lean on the running game, especially early in the year.
Well, based on what we've seen throughout the offseason with this program as far as infractions away from the football field, I mean, Kirby and his staff, they had a lot to deal with. What, 4 guys were arrested between, what, February and March, and now hearing about the Holloman situation. But, like you said, this investigation is inactive. And because of what we've seen with some of the players that were that was arrested, do you believe that kind of pushed Kirby to basically dismissing Holloman off the team, even though the investigation is inactive?
It's hard to say. That's a good question. It's hard to say, especially since this situation happened last year before this long run. So what happened when Jeremiah Holloman and Kirby Smart spoke? What happened between Jeremiah Holloman and whoever he initially spoke, if he spoke to anybody else on the team? What went into their evaluation of it? I think that we're also living in a day and age where there's a lot less tolerance for these kind of situations. I mean, obviously right. with Me Too, and obviously with just, you know, people say you don't hit women, period, no matter what. And so I think that figured into it as well.
Yeah, I know the optics are never good when you see, you know, it's one thing, a beer ticket, a speeding ticket that gets you suspended, but you're right, the optics on this are just too awful for Kirby to roll with. What do you think the biggest challenge for this defense is going to be? We've talked a lot about, you know, offense, even with some of the things like Holloman not being there, they've got a lot of pieces. what's the biggest concern? We've been saying pass rush, taking pressure off of the young secondary.
That's one of them. They're emphasizing that a lot. I think with the secondary, the key there is Eric Stokes, the guy who started the tail end of last year, does he continue to look the way he did? I mean, it looks like that could almost be a DeAndre Baker situation where once he gets in the lineup, he never leaves because he ends up being that good. I hate to make that comparison, but
too late.
There are some comparisons there. We'll see. It's very premature. We didn't even realize DeAndre Baker was DeAndre Baker until like well into his career.
Right.
But then the other thing is Tyson Campbell. Does he rebound from what was a rough freshman season and end up being as good as he was expected to be? People forget he started as a true freshman, which people kind of think, oh, no big deal, you know. But they actually haven't started that many of these young studs right away. Tyson Campbell was one of the few. Then they had to yank him out of the lineup. Do they, you know, emerge with what they want at nickelback? I think they'll end up okay at safety. They got J.R. Reed, Richard LeCount, Otis Reese, combination of those two at free safety. Yeah, I for all this talk, though, I still come back a little bit to the run defense, which was their concern for a lot of 2018. They firmed it up the latter half of last year. How are they going to look going into next year? Is N'Kobe Dean as good as expected? Does he firm that up right away when it comes to the second level or even the first level? Does he have that sideline-to-sideline ability that Roquan Smith had? Because everyone keeps using the Roquan Smith comparison with N'Kobe Dean. Jordan Davis, nose tackle, came on the second half of last year as a freshman. Does he make that jump this sophomore year? Or do they potentially miss guys like Jonathan Ledbetter more than people think they'll miss him? I think if they're good with the run defense, I think the pass defense issues may really be minimized because, you know, if you're good against the run, then you can put yourself in good situations where you know the other team needs to pass and really pin your ears back and play around and have some fun with blitzes and such.
Seth, we always appreciate it. It's kind of like, you know, national championship or bust. I mean, that's like the level of expectation now. We'll be picking your brain throughout the summer, man. Thanks for coming on with us.
All right. Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.